I know that when you were sharing that, this church is an intimidating place to bring the word, I find. Because there were people around here, you know, they were saying, you know, just like, you know, can't compute. That's because something was out of whack there in the orders. Everybody was just, you know, biting their tongues, and the Bible scholars among us were saying, well, just, we understand that, and I, you know, we all understand perfectly, you know, kind of the order of things and how that was all in the same, really kind of in the same context of things and all. But I was amused at just, it was almost like somebody, I could see some, like a monkey wrench had been thrown into people's minds and they were stopped right at that point. Thank God for grace. Like you say, thank God for grace. Molly, would you put the words of that? The Laura led us in a amazing hymn. I'm gonna pull this off of here. Such a beautiful time of worship. But this song, I'd like to draw our attention to it again. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. We have been immersed. We have been baptized into. We live in this vast ocean that is the love of God that we just keep discovering, and it, it is our life. He is our life. And that's what is the wellspring of our life and what motivates us. And because He loves us, because He first loved us, then we are just more and more in love with Him. And I'd like to draw attention to some scriptures here this morning, starting in 2 Samuel chapter 23, please. Father, as we open the Word together again, we thank You for the Word of life, You who are the Word of life, living Word. We pray that You would open our eyes, our understanding, give us spiritual understanding and revelation in the knowledge of You, Lord, and of Your Word. We thank You in Jesus' name. In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 13, during harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. I'd like for us to see here, recounting this story, to see how precious both of these offerings were. These men were motivated by their admiration and their love for David. And I'd like for us to see here in David a type of the Lord. These men were motivated as we are motivated. The love of God, the love of Christ constrains us. It moves us. It motivates us. As these three mighty men who following and serving David, and they saw the anointing on him. He was. Let's just kind of leave it at that. Let's just see in him this type of our Lord, this Son of David who is our Messiah and Lord. And it's his love and his glory, what we see in him that moves and motivates us. But I'd like for us also to see the reaction of David, how he saw the preciousness of this water that they had gone. He wasn't asking them to do that. He was just expressing a longing just for water from his hometown, from the well of Bethlehem. Speaking of which, the well of Bethlehem, can we see in that also a type of the Lord Jesus? He is the wellspring. He is the fountain that was opened up at Bethlehem. And every human being longs for a drink of water, longs for that water that flows from the well at Bethlehem, that was opened at Bethlehem, our Lord Jesus. And so David just expressed that longing, and these men heard him, and because of their love for him, they risked their lives. They, as David says here, they poured out their lives. And he revered, he was in awe of that offering, and it was a treasure, and it was an offering to the Lord that they had made. Not just, it wasn't just something for him, but he recognized that these men were pouring out their lives. It was an offering that they had made. And he poured it out. He said, "Far be it from me to take that as just a drink for me. This is something much more than that." I'd like for us to go to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. To just drawing on what we read there of these men who poured out an offering, as it were. They were pouring out an offering over David, and giving this to him as an offering to the Lord. And it was their delight to do it, to pour out this offering for him, for his sake. And I just want to briefly this morning encourage us to see what is the center, the focus of our life. What is our lifestyle? And I'd like to suggest to you that this is a good description of a lifestyle in the Lord. To have a disposition of being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from others. If we can see our lives in our offering to the Lord, if we can see our lives in whatever role you have, in the multiple roles of your life as parents, how you pour out your life on this, these young ones, or these, actually it doesn't just stop when they're little, is it? It doesn't just stop when they're, when they reach 18 or whatever it is, and they leave home, and it's kind of like, there, now that job's done. I'm discovering, as lots of you have, that they're always your kids, and you're always ready to pour out whatever it is. Pour out your life on the offering of their life unto the Lord. And it's, Paul here describes it as as something that he rejoices in. Far from, he started in this verse 14, we started reading, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. It's really easy to kind of measure what you're pouring out. Okay, I'll pour out a little bit. I'll give, I'll be patient with you. I'll invest in you. I will give of myself for you to a point. But it's really easy, if you're anything like me, to kind of measure that, and when it no longer seems fair, or no longer seems like you're getting the response that you want, or you're not getting the, hi you guys. It's funny to watch the eyes of the congregation, you know? Somebody walks in, I keep talking, but everybody just goes, Welcome, we are really happy to see you guys. It's really easy to measure out what we're willing to pour out. And if it gets beyond that point of what we think is justified, then we can shift into the gear of complaining or arguing. Even if we don't come right out with it. But I know that it's easy to just kind of start holding back, saying, I've done enough for you. I am really, I'm just about up to here. I've been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And you follow what I'm saying? It's a beautiful expression here. Because Paul is rejoicing in whatever it is. He was, the situation he is, most of his ministry, most of his life in the Lord, he was being poured out in one way or another, and very many times it was virtually literally being poured out, pouring out blood from beatings and stonings and it just goes on and on. He was continually pouring out. What motivated him to do that? Was he just such a nice guy? Was he just so self-giving? Or was it because of what the words that can be described in one way? Was he just so in awe and so enraptured in this ocean of this love of God that he kept on discovering, that for him it was his rejoicing to invest in those people whom he describes here? He says, you in the midst of this depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Paul looked at, I don't believe that's just a kind of a generic statement that he says, you shine like stars in the universe, I think that he was in awe of each individual believer. And he saw them as a beautiful light in the midst of darkness and depravity. You were talking about how you love the wilderness and so forth. Sometime I want to get to tag along with you when you're out there in the wilderness, because I can imagine what the sky must look like in some of those places that you get to. I live most of my life, and I have lived, I guess, a good share of my life, where the sky is dimmed by all the stars are dimmed by all the other, you know, the lights of the city and this, all that's around you and so forth. And some places, when we were living in L.A., it's like, look, a star! Because you know, everything is so, there's so much light and all. I think Paul delighted in every believer. And he saw in them the glory of God. And he saw in them the treasure that each one is. And worthy to invest in that treasure. That Christ would be formed in them. For the glory of God. And to see what the beauty of what God was creating and had created that person for. And he had a context. He wasn't measuring what he was pouring out. He wasn't protecting himself. He wasn't complaining and arguing in a whining kind of a way or of a begrudging kind of a way. But he said here, even if I'm poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, even as you rejoice with all of me. And so that's really the essence of what I'd like to share this morning. To just freshly, as we gather around Him, every gathering of the body of Christ, like this or in whatever setting, is a gathering around Him and to glorify Him and to minister to Him, lift up gratitude to Him. And at the same time, it's a time to be beholding, if you will, the beauty of those who shine like stars in the universe. To see in one another that brightness, that glory with which He has glorified us and with which He continues to work His glory into us. That can be a stretch. You know, to see that, just ask my wife if that's not hard to do sometimes, to see the glory in a fellow believer. I put her to the test. And it's that way in the church, in the body of Christ, in our fellowship and all, we can find all kinds of reasons to complain or to see what doesn't look glorious. That doesn't take any kind of spiritual perception at all. It just hangs out all over us. But to have those eyes, to have that heart that is so moved by the love of God in which we live, that ocean in which we swim, if you will, moved by the love of God and the great mercy and forgiveness that continually flows to us. Moved by that, that ongoing glory of seeing the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Moved by that to delight in one another and be willing to, without complaint. I think there can be all kinds of roles. I mentioned the parents' role with the children, but it can be in we reach a point, you know, I've started to think about and realize at some point, if I continue to get older, which I probably will, what I mean is if I live into my old age, at some point my children are going to have to be pouring out an offering for my sake. You know what I mean? And whatever role you're in, whatever people that you're working with, if it's colleagues or brothers and sisters just within your family or whatever relationship it is, that person that you have the privilege of pouring out offering upon. It's offering to the Lord that you pour out over them as you invest in them. And it's worth rejoicing in. It's great privilege. like to have us look quickly conclude here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And verse 4, let's start reading there. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That might be a good image for us to see. We're all a bunch of jars of clay. Pretty plain, you know. But we have a treasure within us. We are ones who together are experiencing this amazing gospel. From the darkness that was the universe before God spoke and said, "Let there be light." How dark is it when there's just absolute darkness? That's where we were. That's where I was. We were in darkness. But now, he has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we live with that reality as jars of clay. And we live in relationship to one another. It was something that could be perceived as just so plain as jars of clay, nothing special. But each one actually is incredibly, incredibly special and worthy of us pouring our lives out over the offering that they're making of their life, investing in them. And you guys, forgive me for getting maybe too pointed, but I have the sense of trust with you. But Will and Sharona, you know, you guys have a little boy living in your home. You have a son that he's a strong-willed little boy, and I don't know, watch you guys, you know, and I know you encounter situations. It's like, how do we know how to deal with this little guy who seems to have such strong feelings and such strong will and so forth? And I think about you guys, how you are investing in him, and this could be applied to all of you parents in every role. But you guys, I just would pray that the Lord would encourage you. What you are doing as you pour out your offering over him and into him, worthy investment, great investment, one who will shine as a star in the dark universe, and the plans of God for that little eternal soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it's just, anyway, when I just share that, we were just sitting down for a cup of coffee, I'd share the same thing, you know, but you guys, it's a beautiful investment that you're making. And the same for all of you. Let's just cast off complaining or arguing or measuring out what we're pouring out, And let's delight in and rejoice in the privilege that we have of pouring out this offering. Because really, what we're pouring out, it just comes from this ocean that we live in. We're just pouring out what we're living in, what we're experiencing, this deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured. Let's pray for a moment. Can we just... Father, it's so incredible that you have loved us with a limitless love, and when we know that it's simply of your mercy that we are not consumed. Thank you. Thank you for the deep, deep love. Thank you for the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you. And thank you for the people that you put in our lives and the privilege of in any way being servants and investing in those lives and exchanging offerings as we live in relationship with you. And so Lord, I just pray for all of us that you would wash away, that you would cleanse us, correct us from complaining and arguing and so forth. You would wash over us. You would help us to see the treasure of each one of these stars that shine so brightly with your glory. Thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of this congregation, this family. Thank you for being the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we do want to glorify you. We do want to shine for your glory. We worship you. Pray your encouragement and your great blessing over each one this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I think my first Bible growing up.